Jason, chapter 22. We have been looking through this last couple of chapters, trying to see some things that we haven't seen before, and I have found some things I hadn't realized before, so that's been a blessing to me. And I know that many of our listeners who are listening on WMKT 1270 AM or 102.3 FM, many of our listeners are older, many cannot leave their home, and so we are thrilled to be your church on Sunday morning. We know that there are many listening to us through feedback. And so if you're older and you're not able to get out and be with your own church family as you'd like, then we want to remind you that a better day is coming, absolutely. And that God has described it here for us, that we might understand it and rejoice in it together. This is the First Baptist Church of Petoskey, and I am Pastor Casey Smith. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll see what the Word has for us today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Bible that means so much to us. We go to this Bible when we're down, when we're happy. It expresses our heights, it expresses our lows. It helps us to work through issues that have us kerfuddled. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll help us to listen today to your word, to your ideas, to your promises, that we may understand the Bible's wonderful message to us. We lift up all those listening who are angry or hurt or sad or despairing. Heavenly Father, help them to know that you are there for them, that you hear every word, that you take notice of every tear. Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts this morning. Amen. Chapter 22, verse 1, and he, the angel, showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the middle of the street, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Come with me to chapter 21, just on the previous page for me, and verse 4. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, or we could read that our eyes, if we are believers, because there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. The last two chapters of the book of Revelation finish the Bible. And as such, they describe the healing that is in the Bible's pages, all the whole length of the Bible, that is for our hearts and souls in the end days, in the last times, and right now. Chapters 21 and 22 are more specifically about our healing than they are about any other topic. For example, let's go to chapter 21 and verse 12. And this city had a great high wall with 12 gates, and 12 angels stood at the gates with names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Verse 14, now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So on the gates are the names of the tribes, and on the foundations are the names of the apostles. Why? Well, you have a handout that you hopefully grabbed on the way in with my sermon notes on it, and that will help you understand what we're doing and seeing. Let's turn to the side that says the 12 tribes of Israel. The names of the 12 tribes are, of course, listed here, and the first name is Reuben. See, the son. Reuben. See, the son. Simeon is here. Levi is join, and Judah is praise. And so you could translate that. Reuben, I see the son. Simeon, why don't you hear him? Levi, why don't you join him? And Judah, why don't you praise him? Join with us in these things. Or it could be just a testimony. I have seen the son. I hear him. I've joined him. And now my life is a life of praise for him. The first, isn't that interesting? That is not an accident. That is something that God arranged and designed for those first four tribes to meet. Then we have Dan, the judge, and Naphtali wrestling. Remember that Jacob wrestled with God, the judge, and that his name then was turned from Jacob to Israel. And so the tribes are known as the tribes of Israel, the wrestler who prays and wins with God, as opposed to the tribes of Jacob, the trickster. And so, you see there, let us wrestle with the judge in prayer as our father Jacob did. Then we have Gad distributing to a group. Issachar, he will bring a reward. Zebulun, dwelling, and then the two sons of Manasseh, forgetting and fruitful. Or God will forget our sin, and then God will make us fruitful. So if we put those four names together, five names together, God will distribute a reward to us in his home, forgetting our sin and making us fruitful or full of love. And then the final name of the tribes is Benjamin, son of my right hand, who is the son of God's right hand, that is Jesus. Jesus will reign. So here we have the 12 names of the tribes of Israel who show the salvation story and include either the testimony of the saved believer or the invitation to the lost believer. And so that's why their names are on the gates. This is the story of salvation written on the gates of the holy city. There you have Galatha. If you put that into a paragraph or a little story, I have seen the Son. Why don't you listen to him and join him and praise him too? Let us all wrestle with the judge as our father Jacob did in prayer. When we're finished with our lives of wrestling with him, he'll bring us to his home and distribute a reward to us. He will forget our sin and make us fruitful, and he will reign forever. Isn't that fascinating that God would put that story of salvation in the very names of the tribes? Well, let's continue on the rear, on the back of your seat then. Let's go ahead and look at the apostles. Remember, their names are written on the foundations of the holy city. Simon Peter. Simon, I have heard. Peter, the rock. I have heard the rock. James, there is actually no name of James. You know, there was a name James. It was a transmogrification of Jacob. is really the name Jacob from the Old Testament. And of course, we just saw Jacob the father of the tribes, Jacob the supplanter, the thief, the guy that took the other guy's place. John is full of grace. And so you have James and John. Isn't that interesting? Jacob the sinner and John, but there is lots of grace. So whenever you say James and John together, you are preaching a sermon. We are all sinners, but God is full of grace. Andrew, manly or courageous. Of course, you would recognize android. The Greek would be andros. Anthropological studies comes from this word. And so Andrew is from andros. It means manly or courageous. Philip loves horses. Phileo, hippo. Isn't that interesting? That loves horses would be one of the apostles. What on earth can that possibly mean? Well, it doesn't seem to mean anything until you go to the Old Testament, and in Zechariah, you find that there are horses who are at rest. They're not going out to war. A horse was a war animal that dragged chariots around, and, warriors rode them. And then in the Revelation chapter 6, you have the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And then in Revelation 19, you have Jesus riding a war horse, conquering his enemies. And so what Philip really means, if you're a pacifist, you could take it as loves horses. But if you're looking for the biblical meaning, it means to love war. Thomas, the twin. Well, I wrestled with this one. What in the world does a twin have to do with the gospel? But the root of this word means to be complete. And so a twin is doubly complete. So now that gives it a little more meaning than we had. Bartholomew, Bar means the son of. Tolmai, from an unused word meaning to accumulate. And so it meant ridges. You have lots of ridges, you got lots of hills, you got too many hills or whatever. But the root means to accumulate, to get, to have. Levi became Matthew. Of course, Levi is the Old Testament name that means joined. He was almost certainly a Levite. And then, but he changed his name to Matthew, which means gift of God. James, who is the son of Alphaeus, of course, is Jacob, to exchange or to change or to supplant, to trick. Number 10, Simon Zelotes, or Simon the Zealot. Simon means I have heard, and zeal, of course, is, what that is. Labaius Thaddeus means brave heart. Labaius Thaddeus had quite a moniker. He was Labaius Thaddeus Judas Bar James. So he had quite a name. Judas means to hold out the hand or to worship. It is the same as Judah. And Matthias, the last apostle picked to take Judas's place, means is really the name Matthatias, or the gift of Yah, exactly the same as Matthew. They're both named Matthias. And so, Simon Peter means, looking down the page there, Simon Peter means, I have heard the rock. James and John mean, I was a sinner, but he was full of grace. Philip and Thomas, if you put them together, I used to love war, but now I am doubly complete. I don't need to go to war. My needs are met. Bartholomew called Didymus, I have acquired it all. Levi, I am joined to Christ by the love of God, by the gift of God. Levi Matthew. Simon or Simeon, both Simon and Simeon are both, all of the Simons are Simeon. I've heard Christ, and then Zelotes, and I have zeal. I have his zeal. I have taken his zeal for the things of the Lord. Thaddeus, I now have a brave heart because I, Judas, worship, and it is all the gift of Yahweh, Matthias. So let's put that together in a little story that is written on the foundations of the holy city. I have heard the rock of my salvation. I used to be a thief, but he was full of grace. I loved war, but now I am doubly complete and satisfied. I have all that I could want. I am joined to Christ by the gift of God. I have heard Jesus, so I am full of zeal. I have a brave heart because I worship, and it is all by the gift of God. So that is the salvation story written on the foundations of the holy city. And of course, the other salvation story from the Old Testament is written by the gates of the city. And so we see the tree of life with the healing leaves on it, but you understand that every gate and every foundation is the story of a healed person. These are all people who had been wounded and who had wounded others. They are all people who had great things to deal with. And some people dealt with them well, and some people dealt with them badly. Of course, remember, Simeon was cruel. He was a murderer. He and his brother killed a whole village of people. Simeon Peter, New Testament Simeon, was not cruel, but boastful, outspoken, and brash. But in the Old Testament, Simeon was born again. Remember at the end of the book of Genesis that Joseph puts them through trials, and Simeon is the one who's left behind in jail while the other boys go home with the corn. And so all of them are wondering, what is Joseph doing to us? Is he trying to get back at us? Does he hate our guts? But Joseph is finding out if they've had a heart change, if they have been healed of all of their anger and wounds. Because, you know, if a wound causes us to be bitter or angry, then we're just going to spread the wounds around. And so Joseph pushes them and pushes them and pushes them until one of the boys, Judah, prays, until Judah says, looky here, I can't go home and tell Dad that another boy is lost. I can't do it. It would break his heart, and it'd break my heart, because I have a new heart. Why don't you make me your slave and send Benjamin home to Dad? Now, it wasn't that long ago, some 13 years before, that Judah and the other guys had said, let's sell the youngest boy into slavery and take the bloody clothing home to Dad and break his heart. And so these boys, these tribal elders, have all been born again. They have new hearts, and they have been transformed. Remember that James and John, again, the sept means sin and grace. Remember that they were selfish pigs, that they were the people who wanted to blow a village up because they wouldn't accept them in and give them a meal. Remember that they came to Jesus and they said, we want to sit at your right hand. We want to be number one. We want to be the most powerful people in the universe. And you should do it because our mommy gave you money. And the mom went with them. And so, to twist Jesus' arm. So Jesus said, sit at my right hand. Man, are you able to be baptized with the baptism that I'm going to be baptized with? Are you going to be able? I'm going to die on a cross. Can you do that? I'm going to have everybody yelling at me and spitting on me. Can you do that? And they said, well, you bet. They had no idea what they were talking about or what he was talking about. And so he said, well, I'll tell you what, you are going to go through that, but I can't give out first and second place in the kingdom. That's my father's to give up. And of course, when all the other boys heard about it, they were all angry. Well, what happened? James became the first. He became the first to die. He became the first to be dragged away by soldiers to a cruel death. And what happened to John? He became first in the kingdom. He was the first, most important person on earth because he was the last of the apostles, the last of the men who had walked with Jesus, the last of the people who could say, this is what Jesus wanted, would want right now, because I knew him and talked with him about it. And so where does John end up? On a desert isle. What happens to John? He's boiled in oil, but he lives. And so, yeah, they both got first place, but not the way they wanted, and not what they expected. Here they are now written on the foundations of the holy city. James and John, Simon Peter, I have heard the rock. Thomas, I am doubly complete. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, see the Son, hear the Son, join the Son, and praise the Son. These are not accidents. This was God's will that this happened this way. This was God's arrangement that these boys be named this way, all of them. God worked it out so that his desire and the parents' desire would coincide. That's how God does things. He is the King of all kings. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 30 a moment, and we'll see this in action. Genesis chapter 30. I tell you what, we can back up into chapter 29, verse 29. Genesis 29, let's see here. Verse 30. Then Jacob also went into Rachel. He loved Rachel more than Leah. Well, that's a great foundation for a family. And he served with Laban till another 7 years. When the Lord saw that Leah was not loved by her husband, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. So Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, see the son. For the Lord has truly looked on my affliction. Now my husband will love me. Then she conceived again and bore a son and said, because the Lord has heard that I am not loved, he has therefore given me this son also. So she called his name Simeon. She conceived again and bore a son and said, now this time my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him 3 sons. So his name was called Levi. My husband will join me now. God has heard me, Simeon. My husband will join me now and love me. Levi. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, now I will praise the Lord. So she named him Judah. But, chapter 30, verse 1, when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said to Jacob, give me children or I die. And Jacob got angry, of course. Verse 3, she says, I got a maid. Why don't you have a child by my name? And so Jacob did so, and Bilhah conceived and bore Jacob a son, and Rachel said, God has judged my case, and he has also heard my voice and given me a son. Therefore she called his name Dan. Rachel's maid Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son, and Rachel said, with great wrestlings I have wrestled with my stinky sister, and indeed I have prevailed. I'm getting all the kids now. So she called his name Naphtali, or wrestling. When Leah saw that she had stopped bearing, she took Zilpah, her maid, and gave it to her to Jacob as wife. And Leah's maid Zilpah bore Jacob a son. And Leah said, "A troop comes. I am winning the contest." So she called his name Gad. You understand, and we could go all the way through there, but I think you've seen what I'm saying, is that God wanted these boys to have these names so the story of salvation would be written in their lives, and on their names, and eventually on the gates of the holy city. In Genesis, God arranged the names on the gates in Revelation.
Amen.
You understand that God is the real king of the universe, that presidents do his bidding, even when they're evil, because they are only proving God's point on things. And they are arranging God's punishment for certain things that people are doing, even when they're not trying to and they don't want to. They're doing God's will and God's judgment and God's justice. And so they wrestled with their sister and they rendered their husband and they, "God has judged my case," but God used all these things to do what he wanted. So here's God, down through the centuries then, using wounded, angry people to create the nation that gave us the Bible. God is using people who have great wounds to give us Isaiah and David and Manasseh, but Deborah and Gideon, Abraham. No, not Abraham, he's before. But all the other great heroes that came after these boys. You understand that these boys had terrible wounds from living with their father, their father's first beloved wife, their father's second unloved wife, and their father's two maids that were moms. That all these boys are stepbrothers who are jealous of each other and angry at their parents and angry at each other. And that, so when Joseph comes along, he is the baby of the family and he gets it all. But God healed them, because the Bible is about healing. The Bible is about healing on every page. Healing is why Ephesians exists. Healing is why Galatians exists. Healing is why the Psalms were written. Healing is from the first chapters in Genesis to the last chapters in Revelation. It is the point. So when these boys get to the holy city and they see their names written on the gates and the foundations, what is their reaction? "What's my name doing on that city? I was a skunk. I was not a good person. I did terrible things." But they had to realize that, yes, they were sinners, but God is full of grace. They realized that God had made them and called them and saved them and given them gifts for ministry, and that he had called them and used them and partnered with them, that everything that they had and everything that they wanted and everything that they knew and everything that they believed was due to God. And so when they laid the crowns at his feet, it was out of appreciation. "I do not deserve this thing." But God, their friend, had given them the crowns because they had chosen him and they had prayed and they had let him transform them. They had read the Bible and written the Bible. And so God, their friend, gave them the crowns as a friendship gift, and they gave them back as a friendship gift. Because God had healed them and their hearts were healed. The holy city then is all about healing friendship. The kingdom of heaven will be completed in the holy city, but it is already here on earth. God wants you to find healing here and now. Sometimes that means physical healing, but always that means spiritual healing, mental healing, and heart healing. All of us need healing. Everyone here, everyone listening to my voice or the radio, needs healing. Every hurt that you have ever had in your life is written on your heart. It goes with you everywhere you go. If you're 80 years old, you have 78 years of hurts in your heart. Is that something you can say amen to? It's true, isn't it? It's not fun to think of, but guys, they're there. And there's times when we try to deny them, and times when we try to say, oh, I'm okay. And times when we try to say, I was just snippy I was just feeling bad that minute. No, if you're snippy, you're responding to old hurts. If you're depressed, you're responding to old hurts. You and I have hurts that we've never processed fully. Either Dad was critical, or he was gone, or he wanted you to be perfect, or he never talked to you, or he never hugged you. Dads aren't perfect. All Dad, of course, children aren't perfect either, and sometimes we want our dads to be beyond perfect, and they're not. Mothers can be critical. Mothers can be demanding. Mothers can be too busy. Mothers can leave for no reason. Mothers can die. Fathers can die. Husbands can die. All of those things are wounds. When we go downtown or go to shopping at the store, everyone you see has deep wounds from their past. But here's the problem. Most children today have a mom or a dad who's missing, or their parents used to be together and now they're not together. I was in my last church many years ago now, and there was a family, the kids were coming to the children's program, and the couple had a child of hers from another marriage, and a child of his from another marriage, and two children that they had just ended up with. They weren't either of their kids. All four of those kids had great wounds to heal from. But most of those kids don't get to church because their parents don't want their kids to hear that they sinned, or that their parents are not doing it right. And so they don't take those children to church. And so children are growing up today without the Bible, without the scriptures that help them and inform them, without the God who gives us the Psalms for our healing, without the God who expresses his love to us all through the pages of the scripture. Our society is in such, we think that our society is in a crisis now. What is going to be what's going to be happening 20 years from now when you have all of the graduates of all of the anti-God, secular, God-hating colleges running this nation and voting in the elections? This country will not survive. It is up to the churches to reach out to these kids and these families and share with them the gospel of healing, the gospel of family. Psalm 34. Psalm 34 is not the one I was going to use today, but this is a great one. Ani read it earlier. Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. Praise and worried cannot exist together. Praise and anger cannot exist together. Praise and bitterness cannot exist together. If we want to heal our hearts, we begin with praise. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. That's where healing begins. That's where today healing begins. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all of my fears. All of my wounds that have caused those fears. They looked to him and they were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Doesn't mean that every person in jail who reads this psalm gets freed from jail. It doesn't mean that every divorcee who reads this psalm has been saved from a lonely life. It means that God wants to save us from our real troubles, from the real wounds that are causing the symptoms. Being in jail is a symptom, not the disease. He wants to save you from the disease. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. God knows where you are. He is camped around you right now. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Our ancestor Eve tasted the fruit because it looked good. And she wanted to be as God. Here, God calls us, taste and see that I am good, that my salvation is pleasant. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, though they're mighty hunters and all that. But those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing, whether in heaven, Revelation 21 and 22, or here on earth. God has good things for us, but we must worship to find them and to get them, because they're not things, they're him. And they're the peace and the joy and the confidence that comes from him. He is a person, not a storehouse. This is how the Bible ends then. This is how it begins. This is how it ends. With the promise of healing. God wants you healed. Heavenly Father, we come to you today rejoicing that you are a good God. That you know where we are, that you know what we really do need. We pray, Heavenly Father, help us. Help us to listen to you. Call to our hearts those people who have old, bad heart wounds. Teach them to worship and to listen and to praise and to give all those things to you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. For his sake.